Hello, church family. This is Pastor James McManus with Word of God Ministries. I want to thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. My prayer today is that this word encourages and deepens your faith. Again, thanks for tuning in.
We see here where Jesus speaks a parable. What is a parable? A parable is a parallel. A parable is a natural story that reveals a spiritual truth. That's a parable. A natural story that teaches or explains a spiritual truth. And so Jesus is given this natural illustration or example to convey a spiritual reality. And so he gives this parable, and here's the purpose of the parable in Luke 18. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, or for this purpose. Read the rest with me. That men ought always to pray and not to faint. Read that latter part one more time. That So he's saying the solution to not giving up, caving in, and quitting, which is fainting, the solution to that is that men ought always to pray. With that in mind, I believe that any failure is a prayer failure. That any failure is a prayer failure. Say that out loud. Any failure is a prayer failure. He says here, men ought always to pray and not to faint. What does it mean to faint? It means to gave up, a cave in, a quit. Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Prayer will keep you from giving up. Prayer will keep you from caving in. Prayer will keep you from quitting. Quitting on your life, quitting on your vision, quitting on your marriage, quitting on your children, quitting on your health, quitting on your finances, quitting on the will of God being done in your life. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. So any failure in life is a prayer failure. And church, I think if we're honest, and we kind of brought this up last week, we can all admit that there have been times in our life that we sought something, we desired something, we went after a thing and didn't pray, and then after all else failed, we went back to the Lord and said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I just ask you, Lord, by your power, that you would just show me where are my keys. And then all of a sudden, they showed up. And you're like, man, why didn't I pray for that 2 hours earlier? We have experienced the Lord show up in prayer, and we didn't see him show up before prayer. Well, the word says you have not because you ask not. And Jesus said, if your earthly father knows how to give good gifts, how much will your heavenly father give to those that ask of him? So we're talking about how to pray. And yes, the word talks about instruction on how to pray. Luke chapter 11, verse 1, and Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 7, where Jesus gave specific instruction on how to pray. As a matter of fact, in the book of Luke, it was the disciples in the 11th chapter that came to him and they said, look, John the Baptist taught his disciples how to pray. Would you teach us how to pray? And then Jesus went into an instruction on how to pray. So there are prayers that we can pray in faith because those prayers are based on God's word. So we're going to be in this here. We're going to be in this for the next few weeks, just really doing some overhaul in our prayer life and really begin to implement faith in our prayer life, because I want to show you in the Word how to pray prayers of faith. But Jesus here gives this parable, and the purpose of the parable is that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now, let me say this, and we're going to get into a lot of Word here. We have been guilty, at least I have, of praying about something just for the sake of being able to say, yeah, I prayed about it. And we didn't really have, you know, it's not like we really invested in the word and then in prayer, because that's a dialogue. If I'm having a conversation with you, then I'm speaking and you're speaking, and we're exchanging words, and that's dialogue. But if I'm talking to God, but I'm not hearing him, that's monologue. He's hearing me, but I'm not hearing him. The beauty of praying the word is that I'm getting into the Word of God, and I'm praying even before I get in His Word that His Spirit will lead me in His Word. You ought to pray anytime the Word of God is open. You ought to pray on your way to church, walking up the sidewalk. Lord, I just pray right now that You would just sing through Pastor Jeremiah. Lord, I pray that You would minister that Word through Pastor James. You pray over that service, Lord. Override whatever has been planned, Lord. You know what I need to hear. Put a word on my pastor's tongue that I'll receive. See, you come into service having already made a demand on the spirit of El Shaddai that He would minister to you mentally, physically, spiritually. So I'm in expectation. I'm investing in my time in the Word. I'm investing in my time in church. I'm asking God to speak to me, to reveal His Word to me. You do that every time you get in the Word of God. And now because you've sought the Lord and you've acknowledged Him, now when you get in His Word, He can order your steps and He can speak. And so now, I can't tell you how many times I've sought God for an answer or I was praying about a thing and I would open up the Bible and sometimes it might even hit me randomly where I just happened to open my Bible and boom, there's what I needed right there. Or open my Bible app and the verse of the day is the very verse that I needed where God is just communicating to me through His Word. So when you hear and you receive the Word of God and then you go into prayer, you're now having dialogue. I've heard what the Lord had to say and now I'm responding to His Word in faith. See, that's the biblical pattern of prayer. Those are prayers of faith, not a little talk with Jesus just so you can say, yeah, I prayed about it. You know, like you might be getting ready to, you know, quit your job. And you know, you come home and tell your wife, I'm quitting my job. Baby, you sure? Have you prayed about this? Yeah, I prayed about it. I prayed about it. I'm quitting tomorrow. And your prayer went like this, Lord, I think I'm quitting tomorrow. I don't know who's planning on quitting tomorrow, but you might need to pray about that. Listen, here's the thing, is I want you to be able to pray prayers that get results. God-honoring, faith-filled prayers. And I'm not saying there's any wrong prayer, but I want to show you how to pray according to the Word. And Jesus gives instruction here on prayer that men should pray and not to faint. So let's look at the parable, verse 2. Saying, there was in a city a judge, not a priest. Jesus is given a parable to teach about what? Prayer. A parable is a natural story to reveal a spiritual principle. And so in this natural story, we see there's a judge, not a priest, not a mediator between God and man, a judge. Well, if in this instruction on prayer, there's a judge, then there must be something legal about prayer. Watch this. There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded men or man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. Avenge me. That's a legal term. She's standing on a legal right. She's asking to be avenged of an adversary, and she went to the man that had the authority to carry it out. What I'm trying to get you to see is this picture that Jesus is given of prayer is a woman that understood her rights and went to a judge to carry out those rights. Jesus here could have used a parable of a church member that went to the priest and said, hey, I need this. But Jesus chooses on an instruction into prayer, He chooses to use a judge and a widow woman who knew her rights. Come on, somebody. Now, the judge doesn't care about man, and he doesn't even have a fear of God, but he can't deny what's right. Watch this. Verse 4, and he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man. What that means is he doesn't honor the man above him, God above him, and he doesn't honor men beneath him. And honor should always go up, out, and down. And this man's dishonorable. Yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her. Read that part out loud. I will avenge her. See, that is a legal petition that he's choosing to honor, even though he does not honor God and he does not honor man. He doesn't care about the one that put those rules and those rights in place, nor does he care about the man that wants to receive them. But yet he can't ignore this woman that knows her rights and has come before this dishonorable man saying, hey, this is what the law says, and my adversary has done this, and she would not go away. Come on, somebody. And so the man said, I've got to go ahead and give her her right and honor her petition because she's going to keep coming and weary me. Verse 6, and the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them. Now, what's he saying here? He's saying if an unrighteous judge who would not honor the law, nor the God that implemented that law, nor honor the widow who had the right to the law, if an unrighteous judge would go ahead and do what he was asked to do through legal petition because he was getting wearied in hearing the woman not giving up on her rights, how much more will a righteous God, who is the author of legal petitions, honor those that come to him in a legal petition? Even if he bear long, he will honor what he said. Church, this is huge. This is Jesus teaching us how to pray. And when he taught on prayer, he didn't make it a religious duty. He didn't make it some religious obligation. He made it a legal petition of you and I coming before the Lord with his word. With his word. Now watch this. This is perhaps the biggest point in verse 8. He said, I tell you, he will avenge them. Speedily. Speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, when Jesus returns to this earth, he could come at any time. When the Son of Man cometh, read the rest of that verse. Shall he find what? Notice what he said. I'm wondering if I'm going to find. After giving an example of a woman who went to a judge to be avenged of her enemy and would not stop going before the judge, would not stop her legal petition until she got her answer, he said, how much more will your God, a righteous and just God, honor those that cry unto him day and night? He said, however, when the Son of Man returns, will he find what? Faith on the earth. So what's he saying about this prayer? He's saying that prayer is an act of faith. That petitioning God is an act of faith. Now before you think that's not necessary, Hebrews 11:6 says this. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must, number one, believe that he is God. And number two, believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In other words, when I go to God in prayer, I got to believe, number one, that he is God. I got to believe that he is a God that is bigger than man, that he is God bigger than any man's authority, that he is God and his name is above every name, no matter what that name is, that he is God and his report is higher than any other report. His report is more powerful than any other. The report. I never hear a report of man that would negate the report of God. God's word will never return unto him void. He is God and he always makes his word good. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. I have to go and I have to know that he is God. Man is not God. God is God. He sits on the throne. He judges right. And even when the king gets wayward, the word says that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord and he can turn it at his will. We have to recognize who is the Most High God. And El Elyon is the Most High God. Jesus is the Most High God. And he has all power in heaven and in earth. And he has given us the keys of his kingdom. And he said, what you bind on earth, I'll bind that in heaven. And what you loose on earth, I will loose that in heaven. But we've not been binding and we've not been loosing because we don't understand faith. We don't understand the word that he's given us that we're supposed to be responding to him to in faith. See, Romans 10:17 describes where faith comes from clearly. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I can't get faith sitting in front of the television. I can't get, unless the word's coming out of it. Oh, come on, somebody. I can't get faith reading a magazine unless the word's in that magazine. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Church, I'm telling you that when you start praying the word, even your own faith can grow as you hear the word you declare. I mean, you're faced with a circumstance or situation, and you get in the word of God, and you find his report on that thing. And you begin to declare his report over that life, or over your own life, or over your children, or over your marriage. And you begin to declare that word. And as you declare that word in prayer, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. My own faith is growing as I hear this word that I'm speaking over my life. You're going to get reports in this life. We're going to get reports that are going to go against the report of the Lord. But you have to take that report and recognize that it is what it is. But this is the report that if I believe it, I shall see the arm of the Lord revealed in my life. And I just go to God in prayer and say, Lord, I know what they said. I know what it looks like, but this is what you have said in your word, Lord. And I just stand on your word right now. Honey, if you can't find nothing in the Bible that you can stand on, everybody can find something in Psalms 91. There are 16 verses there that are packed with promises of protection and deliverance and healing and provision and power and resources in Psalm 91. Just open up Psalm 91 when you don't know what else to do and just declare it out loud. In the name of Jesus, I declare these words. Get in his word. Pray his word. We're fumbling around trying to find the right words to pray. We don't need to fumble around trying to find the right words. He's given us words that work. Especially when you're praying over someone else's life. We're bad about praying things to God he already knows. Lord, I just lift up Brother Woods to you. And you know he's hurting right now, Lord. And you know he's struggling. And you know that he don't know how he's going to get through. And Lord, we just need you to touch him. Because you know, Lord, he loves you. And you know he's been faithful. And you know he's a good man. And you know he's got a good family. And you know he's got beautiful children, Lord. And you know he's got a lovely wife. Lord, you know he loves you, and you know, Lord, that he wants to be used by you. And Lord, we just need you to do something. And Lord, you know him, Lord, and you just know this, and amen. I ain't trying to pick on nobody. But where was faith in that? Somehow or another, we think if we just make up enough words and pray long enough, like we can just pass that 60-second mark. If I can get 1 minute in on this, it doesn't matter what I said. Just get one. Oh, yeah, that's prayer right there. Amen. Whew, thank you. Yeah, oh, Jesus. No. We got to get out of that mindset that it's the length of time in prayer. We got to get into the revelation. It's the length of faith in prayer, not the length of time in prayer. Hey, look at your neighbor and say, it's not the length of time in prayer. It's the length of faith in prayer. We got to pray words that even if the person I'm praying, oh my goodness, if the person I'm praying for maybe doesn't have faith, maybe they're the one that just got the negative report, but if I can pray over them the word of God, then all of a sudden now they're hearing the promises of God as I pray. Their faith is growing and saying, yeah, 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 God did say that, yeah. And all of a sudden now they're being built up because I'm praying prayers of faith. And if I'm laid up hurting, I don't want nobody to come lay hands on me and go, Lord, you know it's bad. Lord, it's bad. It's real bad. And you know we love our pastor, but Jesus, this is bad. So God, we just ask you to do something because this is bad, and you know he loves you, and you know he's taught us the truth, and this is a bad situation, Lord. And we just know this is bad, and you know it's bad, Lord. And so, Lord, if you could just do what you can do, and just your will be done, amen. No, don't be, no, stay out of the room. Don't come in. I need somebody to walk in there and say, Lord, you said the prayer of faith would save the sick. You said you would raise them up. So I lift up Pastor James right now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you that you satisfy him with long life and you show him your salvation. I thank you that no weapon formed against him shall prosper and every tongue risen in judgment is condemned. And I declare this report that's been spoken against him is condemned because it rejects your report. And Lord, you said if we would believe your report, that your arm would be revealed. And Lord, we take you right now at your word because you said your word would never return unto you void. You said, Lord, that if we abide in you and your word abide in us, ask what we will and it shall be done. So we ask right now, Father, that you would raise him up and we declare by the stripes of Jesus that he is healed in Jesus' name. Amen. That's the prayer I want if someone had, just in case. I want prayers of faith. Because even if I'm laid out and I think it's over, man, you start praying in faith. I'm like, hey, he did say that. Whoa, yeah, he did. Oh, I know what they say. Yeah, amen. Oh, whoa, hey, yeah, amen. Whoa, oh, I'm better now. You here? I don't know here. My mind is. Man, I was in this horrible car accident years ago. I mean, it was rough. The front axle of my van was pushed back behind me, and I had the imprint of the seatbelt across my chest. And they wheeled me into this hospital in East Texas, and I was laying there, and when they wheeled me in waiting to put me in the emergency room, I looked up, and they had one in mirrors so they would know what was coming down the hallway. You know what I'm talking about, them big round mirrors? And it was there to keep collisions from happening in the hallway. They put me right under, and they had my neck bound and in a brace, and I'm stuck like this, and they had me all strapped down because they didn't know if my neck was broke or what. And all I could see is that mirror. And I could see how cut up and bloodied I was. And I'm praying there in faith for myself. And so finally a nurse passed by, and I hollered. I said, ma'am. She said, yes. I said, get me out from under this mirror. She said, why? I said, it's disrupting my faith. I'm praying in faith, but every time I look at me, I'm thinking I'm gonna die. She said, okay, whatever you say. And then she wheeled me on down a little bit further. Well, I couldn't see. I said, oh, yeah, that's good. I can't see. I said, okay, Lord, back to where I was. You said, I was praying. I said, Lord, you said you would redeem my life from destruction. I mean, I'm declaring every word I can think of. I'm declaring, Lord, I shall live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. Man, they wheeled me in there and brought me back out, and they said, you ain't got nothing broken. Thank you, Lord. But I remember my own faith being challenged. Sadly, for many, it's not a mirror that's challenging their faith. It's folk that came in to pray.
I want to thank you for tuning in to today's message on our podcast. If this word encouraged you, visit our website at wogm.com for more information and resources. I'm Pastor James McMenis. Have a blessed week.